Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the cutting-edge news program heard at WWCR.com, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also on the shortwave frequency of 4.840 megahertz. Repeating on WWCR, Saturday mornings, 8 a.m., on the frequency of 7.490 megahertz. We can also be heard on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m., and some other of our older programs during their latter part of their week, and on KStarTalkRadio.com. Again, that's KStarTalkRadio.com, Saturdays at 5 p.m., repeating on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. First, we thank a few of you listeners who have kindly begun to send us some help to stay on air during April's five Thursday month. One of you inquired about our theme song, and it is an excerpt from Beethoven's Third Symphony, the Eroica. And as Mr. and Mrs. America from Flyover Country, Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuffett Caverly, were led to this music early on, weren't we, Lou?
Yes, Elizabeth. It is our understanding that Beethoven composed it in honor of Napoleon, whom he considered to be a supremely heroic figure. But later, as tyrannical moves came from Napoleon, Beethoven recanted his prior dedication. This is powerful music. Beethoven has been used for both good and evil purposes to stir people's hearts. In Nazi Germany times, Beethoven was sometimes an accompaniment to the military pageantry and tyranny. After Germany's defeat by the Russians at Stalingrad, William L. Schreyer, in his book The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, states, quote, "The reading of the communique over the German radio was preceded by the roll of muffled drums and followed by the playing of the second movement of Beethoven's Third Symphony." I'll make that the Fifth Symphony. Tonight's program is called IBM and Another Holocaust, Danger and Death. Could the Fourth Reich, the late Jim Myers talked about, rise again? We wonder whether the listener asking about our theme song had a word of knowledge from God. For here it is, Mike Adams' situation report for March 11th. Recall, Elizabeth tells us in numerology that the Day of Judgment, that number is 11. Bombshell report.
And this is from naturalnews.com, of course.
That's right. Bombshell report. Same tech industry that powered the Holocaust computational machines, now backing vaccine compliance, tracking, and food allowance. In the late 1930s and early 1940s, IBM, International Business Machines, began partnering with the Third Reich to provide computational machines for tracking Jews for extermination. This is fully detailed in the book IBM and the Holocaust by Edwin Black, available at Amazon and elsewhere. Now, it was published by Mint Press News. IBM is partnering with mRNA vaccine developer Moderna to provide its computational platforms and machines to enforce vaccine compliance. In my view, and this again is Mike Adams speaking, this is all part of a global vaccine Holocaust program that's engineered to achieve a mass extermination of the human race. And tech giants like IBM are happy to participate. Mass murdering 6 million Jews isn't enough for IBM, it seems. Now they're targeting 6 billion, with a B, 6 billion human beings with deadly vaccines and install a kind of, quote, operating system, unquote, into the human body, hijacking the body's cells to produce alien proteins via mRNA software code, and that's in quotes, software code that isn't even human. Private businesses turned into militant vaccine enforcers powered by IBM tech. The same IBM that sold its technology to Adolf Hitler, in other words, is now running a, quote, COVID-19 digital health pass, unquote, pilot program in New York, which, according to MPN, quote, deputizes private businesses to enforce government-imposed COVID-19 regulations, unquote. In other words, IBM provides the computational power and tracking that will turn local businesses into medical fascist compliance officers reminiscent of the Nazi SS, but now applied to the fields of medicine and vaccines. IBM also uses the same blockchain and cloud computing technology to power its food trust services, which will, of course, be used to restrict food supplies from people who refuse to comply with vaccination demands by the government. By controlling vaccine compliance in the food supply, IBM is concentrating power in the hands of evil, anti-human tyrants like Governor Cuomo of New York in a way that Adolf Hitler could have only dreamed. Microsoft thrilled to do more business with a genocidal, organ-harvesting, communist China regime. At the same time, Microsoft is now expanding its business with the world's leading genocide nation, communist China. As the Free Beacon reports, the Bill Gates-founded company isn't at all concerned that China is carrying out every action of genocide and anti-human cruelty that fits in the definition of the term genocide. Yet even when the CCP employs hackers to compromise and infiltrate Microsoft's MS Exchange programs to exploit customer email data, Microsoft is still happy to do more business with communist China. That's because Microsoft has zero ethics. Neither does IBM. In fact, there is no prominent tech company that has any morals, ethics, or humanity remaining whatsoever. They're all about the profit and the control over humanity. And if they have to watch while 6 billion human beings are mass murdered on the planet, they're fine with that, as long as they get to do more selling, more computer services to the executioners. IBM hasn't changed since the days of the Third Reich, in other words. And newer companies like Microsoft have already made deals with the devil to promote the mass extermination of human beings in order to achieve Bill Gates' depopulation goals. Big tech endorses mass murder on a scale that few people can even grasp. The full details of this horrifying techno-fascist criminal cartel are revealed in today's Situation Update podcast that I consider a can't-miss episode if you want to understand the real world.
We can't emphasize too much the horrific nature of this breaking news, Lou. And here are some more bullet points that are very crucial from that absolutely vital March 11th podcast by Mike Adams. You just go to naturalnews.com and you go down and you hear it on Brighteon. Pardon me. First, Adams says that the IBM executives knew about the use Hitler was going to make with their IBM international business machines. The punch cards were physical cards with holes punched in them. IBM sold tabulation machines to the Third Reich. These were predecessors to the IBM 360 computers. Now we have the deja vu of IBM partnering with Moderna to track the administration of COVID-19 vaccines in real time through the blockchain of artificial intelligence, AI, and hybrid cloud services. Adams comments that corporations have always been in the business of mass death, and now they're working with Moderna that has a death technology programming. Actually, it's a reprogramming our cells with these RNA interactions, and these interactions are an update of the 1940 punch cards, as computer code inclusions are now overwhelming your own body cells' instructions. Adams comments then about the nasal swab test results and vaccination status records, that these are sent to a central location to build a DNA database and to provide the data eventually that can be used to track, target, and refuse you goods and services. And in the meantime, listeners, Judicial Watch is getting into motion a lawsuit against the CDC, alleging that it orders corporations to censor vaccine news. Allegations, too, are there that a lot of mortgages now belong to the CDC through some machinations that went on while people were under COVID and they were being threatened with eviction. And also, there's an allegation that some CDC personnel were trained as, quote, intelligence officers, End of quote. Lou, does that last phrase give you the creeps?
It sure does.
Sort of a brown shirt idea, isn't it? For
very
an
much.
SS? Yes. And then does this scare you, listeners, now that there are now two new IBM nomenclatures, and they are IBM Digital Health Base Technology, and this really bizarre one, Transparent Supply and Food Trust Services. Let me give you that one again. Transparent Supply and Food Trust Services. Is this hooked up somehow with Bill Gates and MasterCard's proposed trust stamp plan? Will food be rationed so that eventually only the vaccinated will be getting the food? These are very serious things. We can't emphasize this enough, that you need to spread the word about naturalnews.com and about our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell people they can look at our essays there, our blogs. They can go into our listening archives. The last few programs have been so important in bringing out the truth of this horror that we're living in now, the death, the destruction that Lou's talking about. And so now the bottom line, you see, is profit at any cost, that you're a prisoner of war living in a medical prison camp. They control what you can see, and you must know the truth to survive.
And here is basically what could be one of the first medical prison camps. As we learn, Canada embraces arbitrary detention for travelers. March 2021, Nikki Blue rewriting at politicrossing.com. The Canadian government is forcing travelers to pay $2,000 to stay at a government-approved hotel for 3 days while their COVID test results come back. These hotels are reportedly run by Rosa Krebs clones with no empathy or caring for their so-called guests. Some of the suites are reportedly filthy. There have also been reports of sexual assaults on the detainees at these detention centers. These mandates violate the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which forbid any government from arbitrarily detaining Canadians. The Trudeau-led federal government requires returning Canadians to pay $2,000 for their own forcible confinement. And yet it has not provided any empirical data supporting their arbitrary edict for why people with negative COVID tests cannot quarantine in their own homes. Governments like Canada allow people to freely come and go as they please. Governments like China and North Korea do not. The Charter is the supreme law of Canada, recognizing in its preamble the supremacy of God and the rule of law. Under the Charter, everyone has the fundamental freedoms of conscience and religion, thought, belief, opinion, and expression, peaceful assembly, and association. Additionally, under the Charter, quote, every citizen of Canada has the right to enter, remain in, and leave Canada, unquote. And also, quote, to pursue the gaining of a livelihood in any province, unquote. What is stupefying is that outside of PPC leader Maxime Bernier, no major party in Canada has stood up against this heinous assault on liberty by the Trudeau government. And I have a bit more here. Neither the Liberals, the Tories, nor the NDP have satisfactorily explained why Canadians must still live in fear today, when the initial predictions from March 2020 about COVID being an unusually deadly killer have been thoroughly discredited by government data and statistics, not just in Canada, but from all over the globe. The Trudeauist government has provided zero scientific evidence to back up its belief that asymptomatic people are big virus spreaders. And finally, Justin Trudeau and his administration have not explained what link, if any, exists between international travel and deaths in long-term care homes, where over 80% of COVID deaths have taken place. There is a seething undercurrent of discontent in Canada over the COVID restrictions, and Canadians are just now finding out about the international travel detention centers, and they are appalled that this is happening in Canada. And we have more here. And I'll get to that.
These things are just unbelievable,
yes,
aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Because this danger that we're talking about is the danger of tyranny. It's the danger of death. All of these things are interwoven. What else do you have, Lou?
That's right. And now we go to the Canada Control Camps for Kids.
Oh, boy. It must be a mirror image of those cages.
I don't think it's so dissimilar. It says COVID torture. Canadian medical group wants to imprison young children who might have been exposed to coronavirus.
Might have.
Might have. Notice that word, might have. This was by Ethan Hoff, Natural News, Friday, March 5th. In the event that a child is sent home from school because a classmate tests positive for the Wuhan coronavirus, Peel Health of Canada wants that child to be isolated in solitary confinement away from friends and even family members for a full 2 weeks. This was stated in new guidelines issued by Peel, that's P-E-E-L, which are already being condemned by watchdog groups as cruel and unusual punishment. Again.
And that's kind of a health service, isn't it?
I believe that must be. Yeah, okay. I think that must be it. Anyway, that's being condemned by watchdog groups as being cruel and unusual punishment against innocent little ones, not to mention the fact that it is a completely unscientific suggestion. Said Dr. Susan Richardson, a microbiologist and infectious disease physician, who is also a professor emerita at the University of Toronto, as quoted by The Sun, quote, "This is cruel punishment for a child, especially for younger children, 4 to 10 years old. Shutting a child off from their parents and siblings for up to 14 days in this manner could produce significant and long-lasting emotional and psychological effects," unquote. According to Peel, even if a child does not show any symptoms and was merely in the same classroom as another child who tested positive, he or she should, quote, "stay in a separate bedroom and eat in a separate room apart from others."
You know, this borders on paranoia, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yes. And added Martha, that is Dr. Martha Fulford, an infectious disease physician at Hamilton Health Science, who specializes in pediatrics, quote, "I don't understand how any healthcare professional has moved so far away from the fundamentals of public health and of doing no harm that they would think that basically incarcerating a child in a room for 14 days is in any way justified. This is shocking, especially when you consider that this is being proposed for children who are not in any way sick. Peel's recommendations are further perplexing when considering the fact that the government's own narrative maintains that school-aged children have almost no risk of contracting or spreading the Chinese virus as it is." Now, I think I have one more item here.
This is a portrait of the country north of us.
That is exactly
right. It's a portrait that is not comforting when we add it to what all is going on in Biden land, Lou.
Now, here we go. You're absolutely right about that. And still more some more sinister stuff north of the border. Coronavirus quarantine camp in Toronto runs out of food and water for the occupants, or in parentheses, the prisoners. This is by Ethan Hoff, Friday, March 5th, 2021. Natural News. Canada's new Wuhan coronavirus quarantine rules, and that's in quotes, rules, for travelers returning from outside its borders are making headlines, and not in a good way. Angry mobs are reportedly forming in the lobbies of hotels that have been turned into makeshift concentration camps, where those entering from abroad are being forced to stay on their own dime for a minimum of 3 days. Hotels like the Sheraton Gateway Hotel in Toronto are apparently running out of food and water to feed and hydrate their prisoner guests, and that's in quotes, guests, who, despite testing negative for the Chinese virus, are still being ordered by Justin Trudeau to remain at a total cost of $2,000 per person. Guests say they are having to wait hours to get any kind of nourishment from staff, and what they receive is often subpar at best. "We are not animals," shouted one angry woman who was captured on video, arguing with staff at the Sheraton. Another man is heard yelling that he had to wait in line for more than 2 hours just to get some Wu flu rations for the night. On top of having to pay these exorbitant nightly rates to stay at the hotel quarantine camps, food and beverages cost even more. One man showed a box of beans and rice, along with a salad and a Diet Pepsi, all of which cost him a whopping $47.23.
And great nutrition, besides.
Oh, yeah, that Pepsi's the best.
Yeah, that Diet Pepsi with the aspartame.
Yeah, and beans and rice, well,
that's okay.
I guess that's okay. Anyway, this is criminal, the man states in a video he posted to Twitter. Another hotel guest, likewise, complained about the suffering caused by the bad quality food. That's in quotes, bad quality food. Not only is the food quality poor, but this person added that vegetarians are receiving chicken sandwiches and other restricted items. At the nearby Holiday Inn quarantine, guests complained about a lack of water, cold food, and no eating utensils.
I wonder where Bill Gates is with his Beyond Meat. I wonder why he isn't taking a caravan of humanitarian stuff up there. But, you know, we've said before, Lou and I do eat meat. We eat cheese. We eat some rice and beans. But I recall reading one study that claimed that vegetarians' brains shrink. And, you know, as you get older, you need some B12. Not everyone can absorb it after the age of 50 because our stomachs do not have enough intrinsic factor in it. So it's very important if you want to avoid dementia that you get the type of vitamin B12 capsules or liquid that goes under your tongue, sublingual. Because that way, you see, it bypasses your digestive system, and you do absorb it. And Lou has a cousin who told us about horrific times she spent in a COVID ward. We hadn't really known it. We had caught up with her. She's a minister. And first her husband got sick with sharp pains in his head, and then nausea, and eventually he was in the hospital, but they couldn't find anything, and the COVID test was negative. They sent him back home, then he went back to the hospital, and by that time he was getting very sick. So finally they called it pneumonia, but we think it was probably COVID. So then right before Christmas, Jim's cousin herself got very sick, and it did turn out to be COVID. It tested for COVID. They wanted to put her in a ventilator, and I think she saved her life because she said no, and she took oxygen instead. The point is that she did a lot of work in geriatrics with people, sort of a social work kind of thing, in addition to being a minister. And she told us about an elderly woman who always had hallucinations when she had no good B12 levels in her body. So, you know, you don't want to be a person or have your loved one misclassified as having dementia when it might just be a B12 shortage. So really think about that and think about keeping up your vitamin D levels and your zinc levels. I think it's very important. None of us knows how bad things are going to get. Mike Adams, of course, thinks that from a lot of the material he is getting from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and we had the honor of interviewing her back around 2006, I think, about vaccines, and other information he's getting from Dr. Bosch, who really is part of the establishment, who likes vaccines, but he says these vaccines are different, and they're going to result in a lot of mutations that are going to be very virulent. It's going to be very, very bad. And, of course, we know from what Dr. Tenpenny and others say, Dr. Lee Merritt, what we've mentioned before, that it does seem to be the case that with the programming, the reprogramming of the mRNA, the body will be set up for super inflammatory responses to other wild coronaviruses. Now, if this tableau works out to be a time bomb, there may be millions of people who die within 4 to 4.5 years or even longer after that. Now, picture what's going to happen to the food chain. If you're in the city, if you can possibly get out to the country, you really should try to pray about whether God wants you to leave the cities before things get a lot worse. But, you know, God is in total control. And he may just do something to stop the this whole movement because, look, Lou, we're seeing it in the mainstream now, the deaths of people worldwide and the countries that are turning their back on all of this. So, you know, never pray expecting defeat. Pray that God will help us all to keep standing up against the evil and then get some evil foiled. Lou, continue there.
Yes. I was so hungry, one woman told CTV News. I called so many times. This is at the hotel.
Or the quarantine camp, whatever
that's
we
right.
want to call it.
She added.
Concentration camp.
You can call it that, and that's very appropriate. So I called so many times, she added, explaining that when she finally received some food, they left without giving her the beverage she ordered. Another problem in these quarantine hotels is sexual assault. With so many people crammed into the building and minimal security, the facilities are breeding grounds for rape.
Don't you think, listeners, that you should pray about becoming more self-sufficient in your own home? Anything that you can do to withstand such a crisis and be independent with food, with heat, everything that you can think about, you need to pray and you need to plan for your family. What else, Lou? It
says, while Canadian law does not technically require anyone to follow Trudeau's new order, orders in quotes, as of yet, there has not been a reported case of anyone challenging it in order to get it dismissed in court. One man was actually dragged against his will into one of these internment camps straight out of the airport and forcibly tested. Should he decide to sue, he very well could end up setting a precedent against this type of draconian abuse of civil liberties. And this is a quote, "These are people who had to test negative before even getting on the plane," pointed out one RT commentator. Once they land in Canada, they have to take a second test and wait in these detention hotels for 3 days, paying $2,000 per person and more for a family or couple. If the second test is also negative, they can spend the next 14 days at home, during which time the police and private security will come to their homes to check on them. Only Trudeau knows what happens if they test positive.
And now we move on to LifeSite News. It was quoting Children's Health Defense, March 2, 2021, and the latest data made public by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's, that's CDC, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and that's called VAERS, capital V, capital A, capital E, capital R, capital S, VAERS, on deaths and injuries reported after COVID vaccines are in line with trends that have been emerging since the first data were released in December. Between December 14, 2020, and February 18, 2021, 19,907 reports of adverse events have been reported to VAERS, including 1,095 deaths and 3,767 serious injuries. About a third of the deaths reported occurred within 48 hours of vaccination. And 48% of the people who died became ill within 48 hours of being vaccinated. About 21% of the deaths were cardiac-related. As The Defender reported last month, Dr. J. Patrick Whelan, a pediatric rheumatologist, warned the U.S. FDA, Food and Drug Administration, in December that mRNA vaccines like those developed by Pfizer and Moderna, could cause inflammation of the brain and heart and other injuries in ways not assessed in safety trials. Of the reported deaths, 966 were reported in the U.S. and 129 outside the U.S. The average age of the deceased was 77.8. The youngest was 23. Of those who died, 53% were male, 46% female, and 1% of the reports did not include gender. Of those who died, 56% received the Pfizer vaccine and 43% got the Moderna vaccine. The number of serious adverse events reports increased by 641 this week. And remember, this was March the 2nd, early March, to a total of 3,767 between December 14, 2020 and February 18th. I guess this was cut off at February 18th. Adverse reaction reports from the latest CDC data include 160 reports of adverse reactions affecting pregnancy, including 47 miscarriages/preterm births. 1,135 anaphylactic reactions, 64% of which were reported after a Pfizer vaccine and 35% after the Moderna vaccine. 257 reports of Bell's palsy. Pfizer, 71%. Moderna, 29%. By comparison, during the same time period, December 14th, 2020, to February 18th, 2021, VAERS received reports of 83 deaths following flu vaccines.
The next headline, boxing legend suddenly dies shortly after getting the vaccine. This is by Joe Kovacs. I believe this was from WorldNet Daily, March 14th, 2021. Boxing legend Marvelous Marvin Hagler died at the age of 66 Saturday night, and an online battle has erupted over reports his death was a direct result of getting, quote, the vaccine, unquote. Hours before the undisputed middleweight champion died, his fellow boxing great Thomas Hitman Hearns noted Hagler was, quote, fighting the after effects of the vaccine, unquote, before the former undisputed middleweight ultimately passed away. Hearns' full message on Instagram stated, quote, a real true warrior. Pray for the king and his family. He's in ICU fighting the after effects of the vaccine. He'll be just fine, but we could use the positive energy and prayer for his full recovery, unquote. A few hours after that prayer request, Hagler's wife Kay announced her husband's demise on Facebook without mentioning the cause of death. She wrote, quote, I am sorry to make a very sad announcement. Today, unfortunately, my beloved husband, Marvelous Marvin, passed away unexpectedly at his home here in New Hampshire. Our family requests that you respect our privacy during this difficult time. Unquote. A post on Hagler's website stated, we are very sad to report that Marvelous Marvin Hagler died on March 13th of natural causes near his home in New Hampshire. He was a champion until the end. His family asked for privacy at this time of sorrow, unquote. Social media erupted with one commenter stating, I'm proper gutted. The great Marvin Hagler dies after taking the vaccine. Please do your own research before making a decision on putting something in your body that has not been tested properly, and we're being used as the guinea pigs and not told the truth about the vaccine, unquote. In a later posting on his Instagram stories, Hearns stressed he wasn't voicing an anti-vaccine message. Quote, allow us to have our peace, our love and respect to Marvin and his family. This is not an anti-vaccine campaign. It's outrageous to have that in mind during the passing of a king, legend, father, husband, and so much more, Hearns wrote. From 1980 to 1987, Hagler dominated his sport as the undisputed middleweight champion, racking up 52 knockouts in his career. Some of his high-profile matchups were with Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Roberto Duran.
And now, Lou, we have another shocking headline. Monday, March 15th at Natural News by Ethan Huff, this article is, Australian Navy caught in massive coronavirus vaccine side effects cover-up as sailors collapse into critical condition following vax jabs. The mainstream media does not want anyone to know that sailors in the Australian Navy have been dropping like flies ever since Wuhan coronavirus vaccines became available to them. Numerous stories detailing the horrific adverse events incurred by members of the Australian military have been completely scrubbed from the web. Some of them have been replaced with highly sanitized propaganda pieces claiming that only, quote, mild side effects, end quote, are being observed. Greg Hunt, Australia's health minister, who pushed the experimental gene therapy injections on his nation's military, fell critically ill. That's a quote, himself, just one day after getting jabbed for the Chinese virus. All of this has created major setbacks for the pro-vaccine lobby, which is having an increasingly harder time convincing people to get stabbed. Fake news outlets like the Daily Mail Online, UK, have been pulling stories about deadly vaccine reactions in an attempt to convince people that the jabs are, quote, safe and effective, end of quote. The cat is already out of the bag, though. Quote, our health minister is still in the hospital from the day after he had his injection, wrote one trusted contact in Australia to Principia Scientific International. Not a word about that Navy hospitalizations. What a way to take out a country's military in just one jab. As for the health minister, Hunt, early reports that have since been scrubbed indicated that he developed a suspected infection following his injection, requiring that he be, quote, kept overnight for observation. Hunt is also, quote, being administered antibiotics and fluid, end of quote, for his adverse reaction. Now we move to another headline. Australian government quietly walking away from mass vaccination campaign. The original story from the Daily Mail Online that can no longer be found on the site was entitled Navy Sailors Hospitalized After Being Given COVID Vaccinations. This report indicated that, quote, a number of Navy sailors have been hospitalized after being given COVID-19 vaccinations on the HMAS Sydney. Defense sources confirmed some HMAS Sydney crew members were admitted to St. Vincent's. Even in the Wayback Machine archive, this story cannot be found. Principia Scientific International notes that when trying to access the story in the Wayback Machine, the hyperlink took us to an unrelated article. Now, the corporate media is attempting to whitewash the situation aboard the HMAS Sydney. Very few facts remain about the vaccine campaign aboard the ship, and some fake news outlets are even claiming that servicemen were rushed to the hospital, quote, as a precaution, rather than to treat critical reactions. Breaking Defense has confirmed some members of HMAS Sydney experienced, quote, mild side effects, end of quote, after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine, but illness has now been resolved. That's another quote. And the ship has departed for the U.S. this morning for planned exercises, tweeted Andrew Green from ABC News, Australian Broadcasting Corporation. Meanwhile, the Australian government is quietly walking away from plans to mass vaccinate the nation's residents. Apparently, they know something that they're not telling people, mainly that jabbing people en masse would almost certainly lead to mass injury and death. So, when does coincidence no longer remain as mere coincidence? Health Minister Hunt in, quote, critical condition after his COVID jab. The Aussie government backing away from mass vaccination. And now the crew of HMAS Sydney hospitalized over, quote, mild reactions from their coronavirus jabs. Ask John O'Sullivan from Principia Scientific International, quote, so the old saying, no smoke without fire, comes to mind when reading the legacy media's sanitized version of the warship's predicament. Our, quote, friends in the mainstream media have been too quick to tell us deaths are assumed to be only, quote, coincidentally associated with vaccination before all the evidence is in.
From LifeSite News, 28-year-old physical therapist dies 2 days after taking COVID vaccine. Friday, March 12th, by Patrick Delaney. Evansville, Indiana. A 28-year-old physical therapist died 2 days after being injected with an experimental mRNA COVID vaccine, according to reports. Haley Link Brinkmeyer, who completed her doctorate in physical therapy in 2018, and soon after was married to a high school sweetheart, Evan Brinkmeyer, died unexpectedly on January 21st, after receiving the shot on January 19th, according to her mother. And this is Lou speaking. I'll interject. Shows a beautiful picture of the husband and wife at their wedding, with her in her wedding gown on this very website.
Satan doesn't care. His agenda is on earth to cull the population.
So
the
true.
Beautiful people. Each of us is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will win in triumph eventually.
Moving on with the article, in a social media comment, Shauna O'Neill Link spoke with significant candor, stating, quote, my 28-year-old daughter took the vaccine on Tuesday and was dead by Thursday. Autopsy shows no other red flags. The coroner has assured us he will get to the bottom of this vaccine crap. Anything with Bill Gates or Quack Fauci's name attached should be a red flag. Depopulation, my folks, depopulation. That's their objective, unquote. So those were the mother's words. Brinkmeyer worked as a physical therapist at North River Health Campus, a senior living community in Evansville. On January 20th, the faculty posted an announcement that they were holding their, quote, first of three COVID vaccine clinics. Residents and staff alike rolled up their sleeves to do their part to slow the spread of this terrible virus, it said. As revealed by at least three pictures attached to the post, Brinkmeyer was not the only young person being injected with these vaccines. A featured photo shows a young man who appears to be an adolescent getting the shot. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, the, quote, best estimate, unquote, of somebody under 20 of years of age to survive a COVID-19 infection is a 99.997%. Therefore, at least one group of volunteer doctors emphatically insists that since this virus is plainly an irrelevant threat to this age category, injecting them with an experimental biological agent should be absolutely prohibited. Those were his words, prohibited. Nor was the NRHC announcement clear on how subjecting individuals to the dangers of these infections does anything to, quote, slow the spread, unquote, of COVID-19, as there is no data establishing that these experimental agents are actually capable of stopping transmission of the virus. Thus, it remains quite possible that vaccinated persons could still be infected by COVID-19 and pass it along to others. Being a healthy 28-year-old, Mrs. Brinkmeyer's survival rate, if she had caught the novel coronavirus, would have been significantly higher than 99.98% without early treatment. And it lists some related articles here, or topics. Healthy 28.
These are more studies of instant death or soon after death.
That's right. More examples. Healthy 28-year-old mom dies suddenly following second Pfizer shot. Portuguese mother, 41, dies 2 days after taking Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. 39-year-old nurse's aide dies within 48 hours of receiving a mandated COVID-19 shot. Nurses, hospital staff refused to take COVID vaccine in large numbers. Very healthy, that's in quotes, very healthy Miami obstetrician, 56, died 16 days after receiving Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Johns Hopkins scientist, and this is in quotes, a medical certainty, Pfizer vaccine caused death of Florida doctor.
And here from Zero Hedge is the headline. Tyler Durden is writing, Tuesday, March 16, 2021, Italy launches manslaughter investigation as teacher dies hours after getting AstraZeneca jab. After law enforcement authorities in Sicily and Piedmont seized batches of the AstraZeneca COVID jab, prosecutors in the EU's third-largest economy have launched a manslaughter investigation after a music teacher died just hours after receiving the jab. According to the Italian-language media outlets, 57-year-old Sandra Tognati died after receiving the jab in his hometown of Biella on Saturday afternoon. He soon developed a high fever, but went to bed anyway, his wife, Simona Riusi, told the Italian press. The next morning, Riusi awoke to find Tognati dead. She called an ambulance, but Tognati was already dead. Prosecutors in Piedmont officially launched the investigation later in the day. As we mentioned above, prosecutors also seized a batch with nearly 400,000 jabs in it. And then we come to the next headline. This is Natural News by Ethan Huff. Thursday, March 11th. Remember, 11 is that number of judgment. 8 European nations pause AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccinations after reports of, quote, serious blood clot. At least 8 countries in Europe have suspended all administration of Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccines from AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford after dozens of recipients developed serious, that's in quotes, blood clots post-injection. The European Medicines Agency, EMA, Europe's equivalent of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, confirmed that no fewer than 30 patients who received AstraZeneca's China virus jab suffered this adverse outcome. At least one of the cases in Denmark resulted in death. Denmark, Norway, Estonia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Latvia, Italy, and Iceland have halted administration of the vaccine due to this deadly side effect. At least 2 cases of blood clots were reported in Austria as well. However, that country is still administering the vaccine, at least for now. And that date, of course, was March the 11th. We have so much more on this. And now there's another follow-up article here. This was March 15th. Art Moore at WorldNet Daily. Blood clots. Major European nations suspend COVID-19 vaccine. Amid reports of dangerous blood clots in some recipients, Germany, France, Italy, and Spain became the latest nations to suspend use of AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine. The company and European regulators insist the vaccine is not to blame, the Associated Press reported. AstraZeneca argues there have been 37 reports of blood clots out of more than 17 million people vaccinated in the European Union and Britain. However, 54,571 adverse events have been reported in Europe in association with the AstraZeneca vaccine, including at least 198 deaths. Nearly double that number, 102,100, are associated with the Pfizer mRNA vaccine, including at least 957 deaths, notes Alex Berenson, a former New York Times reporter who has devoted the past year to studying and reporting on the pandemic. The AP reported the EU Drug Regulatory Agency called a meeting for this Thursday to review findings and decide whether action needs to be taken on the AstraZeneca vaccine. AstraZeneca is expected to apply for authorization in the United States, which relies on the Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines. Last week, Denmark suspended use of the AstraZeneca vaccine, followed by Ireland, Thailand, the Netherlands, Norway, Iceland, Congo, and Bulgaria. The AP said Britain and Canada are standing by AstraZeneca's vaccine for now. And, Lou, I want you to look for that article about the AP and what happened in Hitler's era, because we see this reemergence. We're talking about IBM and perhaps a new Holocaust. All of these things are linked. And, of course, here I read that the AP reported they were going to have this meeting. And also, this article from Art Moore at WorldNet Daily said, the Associated Press reported the company and European regulators insist the vaccine is not to blame. Cover up. Do you have the AP article there, Lou? Let's go with that next.
I do, yes. And the headline reads, same AP that once pushed propaganda for Adolf Hitler, now pushing transgenderism with extreme media bias. This is from Natural News by Ethan Huff, Saturday, March 6th. The Associated Press, AP, is taking aim at legislators who are trying to protect women's sports against the transgender invasion, claiming none of them have provided any evidence that any females are being harmed by the LGBTQ policy. Some 20 states have introduced bills so far this year to ban transgender, quote, girls, unquote, meaning biological males pretending to be females, from competing in female sports. According to the AP, allowing men with gender dysphoria, a mental illness, to compete with women is never a problem except among transphobes. Track athlete Selena Sewell, along with many others, would disagree. Even so, the AP wants to pretend as though none of these hardworking female athletes exist, and instead give preference to the cult of LGBTQ at their expense. That any state would dare to even propose a ban is problematic to the AP, which is taking an offensive position against female athletes who are concerned about being passed over for scholarships or being unfairly disadvantaged in some other way, said Representative Ashley Trantham from the Palmetto State, which is one such state trying to ban the practice. Quote, the next generation of female athletes in South Carolina may not have a chance to excel, unquote. Legislators in Tennessee, Mississippi, Montana, and elsewhere are doing the same, pointing to cases like transgender sprinters Terry Miller and Andrea Yearwood, both of whom cheated to win 15 championship races. Miller and Yearwood are both biological males, yet they competed against all biological females. To the AP, however, there is no, quote, authoritative count, unquote, as to how many trans athletes have unfairly competed like this. As a result, there is no justification for trying to ban the trans agenda from high school or college sports. The group Alliance Defending Freedom has taken a stand against this transgender invasion, citing the fact that women lose often in sports due to biological men pretending to be women participating in competitions, says attorney Christiana Holcomb, who filed a lawsuit on behalf of four girls from Connecticut who were disenfranchised after having to compete against trannies. Quote, when the law does not recognize differences between men and women, we've seen that women lose.
Yes, and you know, we can echo that with another article here from Natural News, March 2nd. The headline was Biden waging war on women as he encourages Dem-controlled Congress to pass transgender bill that will decimate female sports. So this is something that's a very important issue that we're watching. And the morality of everything keeps turning up. We see here at LifeSite News, this was March the 5th, thank God there are a few pastors and bishops standing up. No moral obligation to accept vaccination. Christian medical groups push for conscience rights. Philadelphia, March 5th, 2021, LifeSite News. An ecumenical coalition of Christian medical groups urged civil authority to respect conscience rights regarding vaccination for COVID-19. The Catholic Medical Association, the National Association of Catholic Nurses, USA, the American College of Pediatricians, and the Christian Medical and Dental Association issued a joint statement on vaccines and conscience protection on March 2nd. The signers insist that governments must respect the right of an individual to accept or refuse a vaccine. There is no justifiable moral obligation to accept vaccination, they wrote. If a vaccine has been developed, tested, or produced with technology that an individual deems morally unacceptable, such as the use of abortion-derived fetal cell lines, vaccine refusal is morally acceptable, the signers continued. An individual's decision to be vaccinated will also depend upon their personal assessment of the medical risks, a choice that should be respected. The decision not to be vaccinated must be accompanied by a commitment to take necessary precautions to lessen disease transmission. In the statement, the group reflected on the unprecedented limitations in personal freedoms Americans have suffered since the COVID-19 coronavirus reached the United States more than a year ago. While sympathetic to the need to protect the vulnerable from the disease, the group is wary of threats to individual liberties. Of particular concern is the specter of coerced vaccination. It is fundamental that the right of individual conscience be preserved, the medical professional stated. Coerced vaccination would irreparably harm constitutional rights and the patient-physician relationship, they added. Conscience is an individual belief influenced by many factors such as faith, culture, family, and reason. Each individual makes a conscientious decision in any given situation. Respect for conscience rights is always of primary importance. The coalition did not show opposition to the experimental vaccines themselves. In fact, they referred to them as a sliver of hope and argued for their fair distribution among the most vulnerable, particularly in underserved and rural communities. However, they stressed that there were ethical concerns at every stage of the vaccine's use, their manufacture, distribution, and especially administration. While the pandemic remains a significant public health crisis, the individual rights of American citizens also remain of paramount importance, the coalition concluded. The guarantee of the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness includes the right to make individual health care decisions while taking into account our responsibility for the common good. In November 2020, three of the signatories, together with the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, released a joint statement asking for the development of ethical vaccines that do not rely in any way on the use of material derived from aborted babies. Meanwhile, reports of serious side effects in several countries continue to pour in. Researchers have published their findings showing that there was a significant uptick in COVID-19 deaths in Israel during a 5-week period mass vaccinations. The British government has published its most recent yellow card report detailing the incidence of suspected side effects of the vaccine, which include blindness, deafness, and death. And now, you know, we must move quickly to the tyranny, the spirit of tyranny, which was so different from that refreshing piece there. We must stand up. But, Lou, let's find out. There was some awful tyranny about the bounty hunters.
That's exactly right, Elizabeth. This happened in New York State. The headline reads, Armed Bounty Hunters Raid a Home Without Warrant in Buffalo, New York, as police officers watch and do nothing. This was by Arsenio Toledo from Natural News, March 5th. A man in Buffalo, New York, was held at gunpoint by bounty hunters from out of state who raided his home without a warrant and his consent. This situation was made worse by the fact that several members of the Buffalo Police Department were allegedly idly standing by and allowing the illegal raid to happen. In January of this year, Jake Reinhardt, his fiancée, and their three-year-old daughter were awakened in the middle of the night when they heard somebody banging on their front door. When Reinhardt got to the door, he saw a man with a long firearm by that front door. "Open up, or we'll kick it in," the man yelled. Reinhardt asked the man at the door to identify himself, but the man responded by demanding once again that Reinhardt open the door. Reinhardt spotted two Buffalo police officers on the sidewalk, which gave him enough courage to open the door, believing that the officers just have the wrong house. But when Reinhardt opened the door, two men, not the police officers, with long firearms, immediately pointed their guns at his chest and entered his home. The two men were bounty hunters. They asked Reinhardt about his brother, who jumped a $5,000 bail bond for three misdemeanors in Pennsylvania. According to Reinhardt, the bounty hunters searched his home, as well as the home of his tenant, who lives in the upstairs apartment. He asked them if they had a warrant. One of the bounty hunters claimed to have a warrant, but it was never produced. Furthermore, Reinhardt never gave his consent for a home search. At least one of the two bounty hunters pointed a gun at Reinhardt's fiancée, Taylor Schmider. She was 8 months pregnant and holding on to her three-year-old daughter. The bounty hunter told Schmider to free her hands by releasing her crying daughter. Schmider said, "I was terrified. Neither of us had any idea what was going on." Well, that's a quick summary.
And at the end, what did they ask? Where is the FBI? Was he the one
yes.
who asked that?
Let's see. That his lawyer asked that.
He said, "Where is the FBI?" And I said, "Lou, according to Great Game India, the FBI is busy aiding and abetting Amazon. Amazon is recruiting 26 former FBI agents to smash workers' unions. See the level of the corporations, the tyranny, the resurgence of IBM? This must be stopped, and Americans will not stand for it. Tell others to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. If you'd like to help us stay on the air, send a little cash or a money order or a check to WWCR to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Thank you, and God bless you.